Hello, my name is Abigail, and this is the Polyglot Progress Podcast. Today is May 27th, 2020, and it's going to be episode number 38, Where to Begin Learning a Language. I just did this whole intro, and I feel like I summed up everything that I wanted to say so eloquently and well, but the audio input was through my headphones instead of my microphone, so I can't use that anymore. So I'll try to sum it up just as well. But I feel like this is a very fitting first podcast back and just very timely at the moment. It is the first podcast back, so talking about beginnings feels pretty relevant. Also, I took about a year and 2-3 months kind of hiatus from language learning as well. I did come back at the end of the summer to early fall this past year, but kind of ended up having to take another hiatus again. So it's really been about a year and 2 months since I've really been able to kind of consistently use languages at all. I really haven't been speaking in them, I haven't been studying them, etc. So I really am needing to approach things as though I am learning them from the beginning. I've been approaching it as relearning everything, going back and relearning it from scratch just to kind of jog my memory on stuff and really build a solid foundation again as I go into learning more new things. So I've definitely been looking again at how I start learning a language and thinking about how other people can start learning languages. And I feel like it's a great time for it. I feel like one of the things that many of us are missing during this time where we're kind of isolated is the communication and connection with other people. And language learning really provides a way to have communication and connection with people in a totally new way that we might not be used to if you've never studied a new language before, but in a way that doesn't necessarily involve physical contact or getting too close to people if you use things like Skype and other internet resources or textbooks even. So I think that it is really an amazing time to pick up this as a hobby specifically, and just in general, obviously, learning a new skill during this time can make you feel a little bit better about the whole situation. I know for me, being able to pick up new hobbies, new skills during quarantine has made it a little bit easier. It's made it feel a little bit more purposeful for me, at least. So if you are also a person who kind of feels like you need to pick something up or try something new out during this time to keep you occupied, language learning is a great place to do it. But it can also be very daunting to know where to start learning a foreign language, especially if this is the first time that you've ever tried to pick up a second or third or fourth or whatever language. If you only speak one language or only speak two or three languages that you were brought up with natively, it can seem like a whole lot to do. You hear people speaking this language you want to learn, it just sounds completely natural, they don't have to think about it at all. And it's hard to know where exactly to begin, especially if you're doing something that has concepts that are totally different to you, like a new alphabet, or cases, or things like that that you've never really had to do before. And especially if you maybe didn't have a lot of luck, or felt at least like you didn't have a lot of luck with languages at school, you might feel like this is maybe something that you're just not very good at. So I want to talk about where I think it's easiest to start a foreign language and how to make it a little bit more manageable and a little bit more approachable so that you can start learning. So basically, I have 5 steps that I think you should follow when you first try to start learning a new language. The first thing comes before you study, and it is to ask yourself why you want to start. If you're someone who just wants to pick up a language in general, you just want to be bilingual, but you're not really sure which one, now is also a great time to kind of narrow that down to one language. Many of these questions that you're going to be asking yourself for the specific language you're learning can be applied to multiple languages to try to pick which one you want to learn. So you're going to ask yourself why you want to learn the language. That can mean, is it to talk to a relative? Is it to be able to watch a certain TV show without subtitles? Is it to be able to read a certain novel, etc.? And these questions and narrowing this down for yourself is going to help influence your study methods that you use, because if you want to do something like speaking to a relative or be able to move to a certain country or whatever, you're going to want to focus really on speaking skills, whereas if you really just want to be able to read novels by a certain author in their native language, you're really going to want to focus on reading skills. That doesn't mean that you're going to neglect everything else necessarily, but it does help negotiate the ways that you want to be studying specifically. It's also a great thing to hold on to and use as motivation, and just when you're kind of having a slump with your language learning, feeling like you're plateauing, it's really great to be able to remind yourself of why you're doing it. I feel like I often maybe kind of forget why I'm learning certain languages because it is so much, I'm so invested in like, well, I still don't understand this case specifically and I really need to figure out how to use this case. And I'm thinking so much on that level that sometimes it's nice to be able to take that full step back and realize, why do I need to know this case? Oh yeah, it's because I really want to be able to read this book in a few months. And in order to do that, I should really be able to understand this case so that I can fully understand the language being used. So things like that are really going to be helpful throughout your whole language learning process. But even at that beginning, knowing why you're studying can help you determine what resources you're going to be using, and just in general help you to remember why you're starting this journey to begin with. Step number two comes kind of right off of that and is also something you're going to be doing before you start studying, and that is to find resources. So you're first going to want to decide how you want to approach this. Are you looking more at a class type setting, or are you looking more at self-study? If you're someone who's never studied a foreign language before, you don't really need to worry too much about this. You don't need to stress over which is better. I would honestly just say, think about how you feel like you are able to do tasks or able to study. If you don't know one, then you can think a little bit more about the other. So if you feel like you are really unable to get things done without someone telling you what to do and you need that kind of accountability, I think a class is a really great option. Also, if you want more of a social setting to learn this language, then a class is another great option for that as well. However, if you really want to be able to do it on a more flexible schedule, or you really want to focus on like reading and listening and things that maybe you don't necessarily need to be in a room of people for, then you can also do this at home. Self-study is great, and you don't really need to be afraid of it also if you've never studied a foreign language before. I promise that self-study can be doable even if you have no experience with these things. I definitely had many failed self-study experiences when I was younger. I tried to learn languages a lot as a kid and really didn't know what I was doing, and it totally failed. But the first time that it ended up working for me was my sophomore year of high school, and when it clicked, it just totally clicked, and I have done self-study ever since. I've tried taking a few language classes, and I found that it just doesn't work as well for me because I know now how I like to study, and so I feel like I can make more progress through a self-study kind of routine. Once you've decided how to approach it, if you want to do self-study or if you want to be able to supplement classroom learning with self-study, which I do recommend, you should spend probably like an afternoon just kind of researching and collecting materials. I recommend doing this in just kind of one set afternoon before you start studying as opposed to while you're studying, because it's very easy to get caught up in sitting down to do a study session and just spending 30 minutes looking around on the internet for like best Spanish websites before you start to actually study Spanish. So if you instead have a collection of resources like websites, books, etc., to use, it's going to make it so that you can just go and use those resources. I also find that it's a lot easier to set goals for yourself, which I think is a very important aspect of language learning. It holds you accountable, it reminds you why you're doing things, it gives you purpose during your study sessions, etc. So I'd recommend just kind of finding all of the materials you want to use and then setting goals based off of those. Again, spending a whole day researching doesn't really need to be that daunting and scary. There are a lot of websites online that have compiled lists of best Spanish websites, best Spanish textbooks, etc. So you can easily do a Google search that uses the language you want to learn and then the types of materials you want to use. I kind of like to have a mix just so I have things available, so I will collect a bunch of websites that I can use, I will find a textbook that I want to study out of, I will maybe find some novels or things that I want to read, etc., maybe some YouTube channels, but I won't necessarily use all of them every single study session. Like, I really don't use websites, I'd say, too often at this point, but I do like to have them just so that if I need to reference something or I do want to do some sort of online activity to kind of put something that I learned in place in my brain, I don't have to go searching for it. I have it right there. Honestly, my number one tip for finding resources and this resource collection is to stick with what you need and don't overwhelm yourself. It can be very easy to go and find those lists that are like best Spanish resources and just copy and paste all of them into one document, and then you have 60 Spanish websites that you could use. But I think it's much better to take a look around at each of them, find the ones that seem like they explain things in ways that make sense to you and that you might be able to study and grasp, or maybe have activities that you feel like you would have fun doing or whatever, and make a list of that. Keep it simple. I only use one textbook at a time usually for languages because it is much more simple. It isn't overwhelming. I don't have to feel like I'm doing 8 different things at once. I can just feel like I'm trying to get through this one textbook right now and I'm going to learn these things. And that doesn't mean that I don't then leave it. Oftentimes I will see in the book a concept like past tense or something, and I feel like the textbook doesn't totally explain it in a way that I am totally grasping it. So maybe then I'll consult one of my web resources, I'll type in past tense in this language or whatever, and I will do some of the exercises there or take some notes from there, etc. So have the wide range of things that you want, but don't feel like you have to look at every single website that is out there. You can always change things. That's the other thing that I would say is my number one tip here, so I guess my number two tip is to not be afraid to just set yourself what textbook, what website, etc. you're using, and then be open to changing it later on. You don't have to change it. If it works, you can stick with it, but you can also totally change it. You can get halfway through your textbook and decide you really don't think that it's working for you and go and get a different one. As long as you are trying, as long as you are using the resources as you think you need to use them, and then you decide that it's not really working for you, there is zero harm in going and putting that down and trying something else out. If you're new to language learning and aren't sure what kind of language learning resources that you like, obviously, why would you? You've never done this before. I would recommend thinking about other things that you have studied. So if you know that when you were in or are in school, you really just can't learn things when the teacher is speaking to you, you really need to be able to read things, I would suggest getting a textbook and going that route. If you really feel like you are someone who learns best visually, perhaps using a tutor on a website like Italki or a YouTube language course or something like that would be best for you. So you can definitely, again, try things out, change it a little bit. There are definitely things that I don't think I thought would be how I would learn a language that I have now learned are things that help me out a lot. There are other things that I thought would do great for me, and I just don't really pick much up from it at all. I really know that I personally need to take notes. That is the only way things stick in my brain is if I write it down. So no matter how many times I do flashcards, if I haven't also written it down at least once, I'm probably not going to learn it. That said, I really love flashcards, and I don't know if I really knew that before I came into language learning, but flashcards, great for me. So those are just things to try out. Try out a little bit of everything if you're not totally sure. You can always try it for a few days, decide you like it, decide you don't like it. It's a totally fluid thing. You're going to change over time. There are resources that I used to love that I no longer feel like are that applicable to me. There are also methods that I've changed my mind on. I think at some point I'll probably make a podcast that is things that I don't believe anymore or don't do anymore in my language learning, because a lot of stuff has changed, and that's just kind of how it is. As you grow, things are going to change. The third thing that I would recommend you doing comes as you start learning the language, and that is to start. The first thing you should study should be the alphabet or writing system and the sounds. So if you are learning a language like Japanese or Arabic or something like that that has a separate writing system, that should be the first thing that you learn along with the sounds that they make. A lot of people will learn sort of the whatever their native language is. For me, it would be English, like English phonetic equivalent of things, and learn to write like that in the new language, and then later go and learn the alphabet or the writing system. I would highly recommend against that, and the reason for that is I feel like A, you're going to have differences in pronunciation. So for example, with the Bulgarian alphabet, which is one thing that I had to learn, there are sounds that are not totally the same as the sound in English. So writing it with an English kind of phonetic alphabet, you don't really get the same word. And so you're not really going to learn the exact pronunciation unless you learn the sounds that correlate with these letters and then the sounds that correlate with combinations of letters in that alphabet or writing system. So you're doing yourself a disservice there that you're going to have to relearn and correct kind of later on. The other thing is that I feel like for me, at least personally, it would make it so much harder to learn the writing system later down the line. You're going to be so used to reading and writing in this phonetic translated version. And so when you then have to figure out the writing system, you're not going to recognize the words in the same way. You know, when you are looking at something and you read it and you just kind of see the whole word instead of having to read slowly through it, you're not really going to get to that point because you're not going to just recognize the word immediately. Over time, you will get to that point. There are a lot of Bulgarian words that I don't have to start from the beginning and slowly sound out anymore. There are definitely words I still do because I'm definitely still a beginner. But if you start from the beginning, it'll give you a lot more time also to practice it. It'll mean that when you are starting to have these more advanced beginner conversations, you're also able to use the writing system and you won't still not be able to read or write. With any language though, even those that have the same writing system as your language, I'd say start with the sounds. It's gonna make pronunciation so much easier. It's gonna make kind of everything easier. I will say that one kind of language learning crime that I do is I don't really usually learn the names of letters in languages. I think that's something that I need to start doing, because if I were to go to a foreign country and have someone spell something out to me, the only country out of all the languages that I speak, the only country that I could go to and have them spell out a word to me and have me understand what it is would be any Francophone country. I do know the French alphabet and the names for all the letters, but I don't know the names of letters in German. I don't know them in Bulgarian. Don't know them in... I actually might know them in Spanish from elementary school, and then I don't know them in Italian. So that is one kind of thing that I am totally guilty of. I need to go back and kind of relearn that for everything, because I couldn't have anyone spell something to me. I couldn't. So I would recommend doing that as well. I will try to take my own advice there too at some point. When you really are going to start learning things, from there, usually whatever course you're using will kind of start taking you through this. But just to give you a little bit of basics, the things that I will then try to cover next, sort of roughly in this order. It's not totally in order, but the first few things are definitely in the order that I'll do them. I start with basic phrases, so that's things like hello, goodbye, you're welcome, thank you, etc. Those are obviously very helpful things to know, very easy things to know. You surprisingly get a grasp on sometimes advanced grammar things without realizing it, so it's a good way to start putting those things in your brain, so that way when you do later down the line start to learn those, you'll recognize like, oh, I understand why I say this for what is your name, that uses this thing that I'm now learning down the line. It also just obviously is very helpful for if you are in a Skype lesson. One thing that I will also try to learn very early on is, can you slow down? I don't understand. Yes, no, that sort of thing. Because it's going to make class times much easier. Also, how do you say? That is another great thing to learn very early on. Then I'll usually go to present verb conjugations. I think that this is a big thing to know early on. I will do usually most languages have irregular conjugations for to have and to be, so I'll learn those also, and then I'll learn regular verb conjugations just so that I can use all of the verbs out there to say things in the present tense. I will then learn vocabulary to talk about myself or to do kind of like very small talk, basic introduction type things like, I live in this state, I have two sisters, that sort of thing. So just with those kind of three things, knowing basic phrases, verb conjugations, and then kind of ways to talk about myself, I will be able to have quite a bit that I can say. It won't necessarily feel like substantial conversation, it really will be like, hi, my name is Abigail. I live in Connecticut. I have two sisters. But it'll make me feel like I'm saying a lot already, and I feel like it's a really great confidence booster when you're first learning languages and a great way to already begin practicing. Then I will usually go to frequently used adjectives, which again is just going to help make those very basic conversations a little bit better. And then I'll usually learn past tense and future tense just to give me a little wider variety of the things that I can say. And vocabulary based on my interests. And then from there, I'll keep going. But I'd say that that is a really solid base. It gives me the ability to say so much more. And I'm already able to have a grasp on the language and have a very, very basic conversation in the language. And I feel like you can learn all of that pretty quickly. Doesn't take a whole lot of words, doesn't take a whole lot of study. So you're able to get a really good grasp on a lot of the language very quickly. You're able to say a lot, you're able to have a really good feeling about how much you're able to say while still not really knowing much of the language at all. And I feel like it also makes it a lot easier to gain knowledge of those other things in the language, because once you have a working knowledge of a small amount of the language, you're able to understand a lot of conversations, and then you can understand the words that you don't know through context. I don't know if this is necessarily step number four, but the fourth thing I would recommend is just finding ways to use the language, whether that is books that you want to read, shows you want to watch, conversations with certain people you know, like arranging those or finding a tutor or whatever. Just finding ways to be able to use the language so that way you can practice the things that you're learning and also continue to get exposure and immersion in the language. This is also really helpful for maintenance. Anyone who has been watching the channel for a while, I don't know if you've stuck around since this is more of a new to language learning type podcast. A lot of people probably know that I have a lot of trouble with kind of keeping up with languages after I've studied them, like remembering to just take time to read books in languages, watch shows in languages, etc., just kind of use them a little bit. It's definitely a big problem I have. Part of it is because I don't really get the time, or I haven't really had the time recently, to just sit and read or watch things in my own native language. So it has made it hard for me to kind of transition that to using languages that I'm studying to do it that way. So I would definitely early on find ways to be using this language so that way you can increase your knowledge in it, increase your comfortability, and also have a way to maintain the level that you're getting. Then my last tip would just be to, once you've started to learn all those things that I said before, just have an assessment with yourself every once in a while and just look at how much you know. That's going to boost your confidence, but also look at the things that you feel like you're missing. So one way that I'll do this is I will write in a journal. Usually I'll just talk about my day. Maybe I'll talk about something that I'm looking forward to. Maybe I'll talk about a specific book, a specific movie. And as I'm writing that, I'll usually see like, I don't know the word for to cook. And then by doing that, I'll have a chance to go and look that word up and then put it down. So I might find that while writing, I am constantly having to look up vocabulary words. That usually means to me that I need to focus a little bit more on vocabulary through these next few study sessions. And I'll also kind of know what kind of vocabulary. Do I need things to talk about myself? Do I need to talk about my hobbies? Do I need adjectives, etc.? I might find that, like, I want to say things and I just don't know the grammar points, so maybe I'll say I don't really know how to use the conditional, and I'll try to learn that. Overall, it just gives me a chance to step back, look at what I've learned, and then kind of figure out what needs to happen next. And I feel like this step is huge for not making language learning feel daunting, because when you're just constantly reassessing, like, one thing that you still need to learn, it makes it just feel like, oh, that's the next step. It doesn't feel like I don't know so much. It just feels like, well, I don't know these few words, so I'm gonna try to learn those right now. And I'd say that's the way to look at it. Just look at it as small chunks. Don't look at it as you need to learn everything right away, because you totally don't. You also don't need to learn a language in 30 days, 90 days, 3 months, whatever the timeline you're seeing online is. I think that's one thing that's pushed a lot, is trying to learn a language in X amount of time, and you don't need to learn a language in X amount of time. You have your whole life to be working on it, so definitely take your time there and just reassess to figure out what you need to learn next. And also go back to that first point of look at why you're doing this again. If you're trying to read a novel, are there still vocab words that you might need to know? Take a look at those first. Overall, it's a process, so don't feel pressure to do it any certain way. Don't feel pressure to do the exact things that I pointed out, those exact words and things that you should learn. Have your own way of learning. Definitely, you can watch polyglot YouTubers all you want, but in the end, you're going to have to kind of craft your own way of language learning. None of us have the secret, even if some of them claim to. Because even if I've found the secret to language learning for me, which I don't think I have yet, but even if I have, it's not going to be the same secret for you to learn a language. So definitely try whatever you want. Don't be afraid to try all of the methods. But definitely focus on figuring out what works for you as opposed to figuring out the overall way to learn a certain language. Let your own learning guide you. So if you feel like you are getting a lot out of one activity, do more of that. If you feel like you're not getting a lot out of something else, do less of it. Definitely just kind of take it as you go. Let your own kind of intuition and learning guide you in that sort of sense, and change your materials as needed. And overall, just have fun. It is a great hobby. It's a great way to connect with people, a great way to communicate in these trying times. So definitely just try to make it the best that it can be for you. I'm very excited about this new upload schedule. I'm going to be uploading very frequently, and I'm going to be doing 2 podcasts a month. One like this one where I'm just kind of alone every single time, and then I will also be doing one the second podcast a month that is probably going to feature a guest a lot of the time. But either way, it will be two times a week. It'll be the first Wednesday of the month, and then I guess the third Wednesday of the month. I guess that's how that works. And then hopefully I will have videos every Wednesday and Saturday. We'll see about that. I may shorten it down a little bit because that's a whole lot of things for me to make, and I do also want to be working on my language projects. If you are new here, feel free to subscribe for other videos. I post things about language learning tips. I post things about my own language learning journey. And if you are not new here, good for you for sticking around through a whole kind of beginners-oriented podcast. I would love to know your tips for learning a new language as well. I will see you on Saturday, and remember, practice makes progress.